no reservations. You're not looking for perfection. There's no need in me pretending. I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. You deserve my full attention. Nothing less than my devotion. Oh, speak to me and I will listen. I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. Lift it up.
You got it. parts I don't like. Honey, even the parts I try to hide. My heart
is yours forever.
Every room belongs to you.
My heart is yours
and consume every room. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Come and consume every room. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Oh yeah. Come and consume every room.
With no distractions.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much for joining us today here on rumble.com/LFATV. Do not forget to rumble, as it says right there on the screen. Do not forget to rumble this video. That means just give it a like. We don't, we're not YouTube over here, so we don't say, subscribe to our channel and smash that like button. No, we say follow the channel and rumble this video. After all, this is God's podcast. So make sure that you're liking it and make sure that you are sharing it. Because one of his commands is to make sure that within our own grasp, with our own power, within our own platforms, we are going to push the message of God. We share a lot of things that do not matter in this world. I think it's time that we start sharing things that actually matter and have an infinite property to them, not a finite. So thank you all very, very, very much. Jeremy, I watched Friday's rerun and so did my husband. God bless you. Well, God bless you as well. I got a lot of support by way of email, phone calls, text messages, social media platform messages, DMs. I got a lot of support for what me and my family are going through. And unfortunately, we found out, when you find out stuff like that about your children or about, people in your lives, your loved ones, you really only find out about, 30, 40% of the story right away? And then you find out more as time goes on, especially being parents. All parents out there, you know what I'm talking about. So unfortunately, our weekend was filled with, tears and revelations and discipline and conversation and prayer and scripture and in the midst of it, I got some time to get away, found some time to get away with my son, you know, one of his Christmas presents that he got. A lot of their Christmas presents that we bought them were not presents. They were doing things that would last for a lifetime, memories, right? So a lot of those things are starting to come to fruition now, like different events and spiritual concerts and things like that. So I did find some time to get away this weekend for about 4 hours with my son. But other than that, it was a rough weekend. But, you know, I'm always reminded, and of course, I continue to tell my children, too, that you might be going through this for your very first time. So are we. We're not going through what you're going through for our very first time. We all experienced that when we were your age. But I want you kids to know, I told them, that we're also going through something our first time. We're also experiencing this as parents for our first time. So if we screw up, if we mess up, if we discipline the wrong way, if we say the things that we shouldn't say during this period of shock and revelation and anger and acceptance and faith and love and forgiveness, then forgive us as well. Because nobody knows what the right thing is to do next outside of giving it all to God. That's what we know we can do. So that's what we focused on this weekend. Of course, when more of the stories came out, we had to deal with those accordingly. Jeremy, I know you said the show was for you, but every story you show feels like it's about me. This is the gift of this show. Thank you. It is, isn't it? It is the blessing of this show. So what I'm trying to do in my walk with Jesus right now is find the treasures in the trials, just like I've been preaching to you. Don't give in, which, you know, very difficult to do in the flesh, to anger and all that when this goes on, but find the treasures in the trials. But this is the lesson that I learned the most. Grammy said, you missed my comment last week, but as you know, my dad has cancer, and because you're talking to your mom about salvation, gave me the courage to have that conversation with my dad, and is saved because of you. Wow. Wow. Saved, well, at least saved because of the seeds planted, right? Saved because of God. God watered them. Here is the main lesson that I learned over this weekend. Because as your children grow up and they become young adults, you have this instinctual action when you get super mad and when they just don't seem to care or see the severity. You have this notion that separating yourself from them or putting distance between you and them is what you need or what they need. Or maybe they don't deserve your parenting, so you're going to separate yourselves from them and kind of put a wedge in between you and them, when really I learned that keeping them closer to you in times like this is exactly what God does to us, right? We choose to separate ourselves from God. We choose to drive a wedge in between us and God. God never chooses that. As a matter of fact, God is sitting there going, meet me where I am. Meet me. I'm here. My promises are for you. And ultimately, we are the ones that do decide whether or not we are going to be distant from him or not. You see, hell is the absence of God. So can you experience hell on earth? 100% absence of God. And I realized this weekend, because by default, I instinctually said, since you do not want me in your lives, clearly, and you continue to jump inside the mouth of the wolf when I am standing there with a sign that says, don't do it, then you must need to be on your own. Enjoy making your own decisions and the real consequences of those actions. Have fun. And then I realized, now, God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. He doesn't push us away. He wants us to draw nearer to him in times of trial and tribulation. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Stepping out of that boat. That is the topic of the day. So please check your newsletters. They've been sent out. Stepping out of that boat. And we're going to be reading from Matthew 14 today. So have your Bibles opened, whichever Bible that you're comfortable reading, have it opened to Matthew chapter 4. Now, before we get into that today, I do want to say happy birthday to Amanda, which is Wendy's daughter. And I'd like to say happy birthday to Al Morris. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Al and Amanda. Happy birthday to you. And many, 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 many more. So that's what today's show is going to be about. Drawing nearer to God, drawing nearer to the problems, drawing nearer to the trials, not running from them, not separating yourself from God, not separating yourself from your children, not driving a wedge between everybody. No, 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 no. The exact opposite. And if I missed a birthday, I apologize. I know we got some birthdays out there today. Have a drink of this Rise Up coffee. Now, see this coffee mug right here, folks? This is on the store. It's $10 right now. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Proverbs 31:25. And of course, it shows a strong American woman wearing American glasses. Where's all my strong American moms, grandmas, and women out there? Where's all my patriotic, God-fearing, strong, courageous Proverbs 31:25 women? Are you a Proverbs girl? Put your hands up to the sky in the live chat. Let me know that you're a Proverbs girl. PG. PG name. PGE name. Happy birthday to you as well. So I want to get into this verse of the day today, which I titled Stepping Out of the Boat. So please open up your verses of the day. Please open up your emails, your newsletters. And if you're not getting a newsletter, sometimes I don't send them out. Sometimes it's my fault. But if you're not getting one, please go to jeremyharrell.com. That's jeremyharrell.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page and sign up for the Revolution newsletter, okay? I see only about 7% of the people opened up their emails, so I might want to go look for it. I see a lot of Proverbs women in here. I see a lot of Proverbs girls in here. I said hello and happy Monday. Today we'll be talking about stepping out of the boat. Why you do it, what it looks like, and what you will experience. Verse of the day today, Matthew 14, 27 through 32. Again, Matthew 14, 27 through 32. But immediately Jesus said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter stepped out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I want to stop right there. What did Peter do? What did Peter do and why? Peter stepped out of the boat. Why did Peter step out of the boat? Peter stepped out of the boat not because Jesus told him to. Jesus did not command him to. Jesus gave him the opportunity to step out of the boat. Jesus didn't say, I command you to step out of the boat. Jesus gave him the opportunity. Peter decided to step out of the boat. Why? Peter decided to step out of the boat because he was desperately seeking to draw near to God. That's why Peter stepped out of the boat. He was drawing nearer to God. He desperately wanted what Jesus had to offer, which came from the Father God. He stepped out. Jesus did not command him to step out of that boat. Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come and I will come." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter decided, "I'm going to step out of that boat. I'm going to draw nearer to God." That's what's going on here, folks. Let's get back to it. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me!" Stop. Peter used his choice to step out into faith, to draw nearer to God. That was the reason he did it. Not to hug Jesus, not to hold hands with Jesus, not to say, "Look at me, Peter, walking on water." No, he did it to draw near God. W. Wilson says, "I guess I'll forever be Wendy." Want to know why? Because there's also a Wendy Wilson too. So, Wanda. "I'll forever be Wendy," she said. So, Jesus gave him the opportunity. Peter stepped out. Peter saw the wind. Peter just didn't see wind. You can't see wind. You can see what wind is doing. You can see the results of what the wind is doing. But what else did Peter see? What else did Peter see? Well, if you're in a storm that is uncontrollable, according to you, and the wind is blowing the waves from seaside to seaside, you're also probably experiencing thunder, lightning. I'm sure it was the most scary thing to see in the world. And then on top of that, you see what you thought at first was a ghost walking on this water. Think about this now. You're seeing a man stand on waves that would kill anyone. And he's just standing there. So this is all going on, and Peter, this is their sight. This is what they see. They're stuck in this boat in the middle of this storm, raging waves, wind blowing everything, lightning, rain, thunder, loud, scary, so scary. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" See, now I want to stop right there. Jesus asked him, "Why did you doubt? You saw me walking on water." You know, not possible, except through me. "You saw this raging storm that would swallow cities, let alone one human being. You wanted God so badly, you stepped out of that boat and you said, I've got the faith to move mountains. I'm stepping out of this boat with you. You told me to, so here I come." So you had it. But what you did, somewhere inside Peter, he was not right with God. Somewhere inside Peter had an issue that was not resolved, because Peter started to fear and lose faith at the first sight of calamity. But here's the thing. He knew the calamity was out there. So I want you to take this into your own, like, way of understanding here. Here you go, and you say to yourself, "Man, the storm looks bad outside. There's no way I'm going out there. There's no way. Look at all the lightning striking everywhere. I could just go from here to the car. I'd get struck by lightning, right? But I got to get to that car because I got to get..." Let's say your wife... Here's a scenario. Let's say your wife is in labor and you're the man. and you see this storm, and this storm is so bad it looks like hurricane weather. Lightning is striking down all over every few seconds. And you say, I got to get to that car. I got to get to my car so I can get my wife to the hospital so we can have a baby. You know you need to do it. You know you need to draw near to that hospital. So you say, you know what? We're just going to go. We're just going to walk out. I know this is the problem, but we're going to get in that car. And you walk out of the house, and you hear the thunder, and you see the lightning. The same lightning that you just saw, the same thunder that you just heard. You knew it was going on out there. You still walked out in faith because you said, you know what? I have a job that I need to do. I need to draw nearer to God. And as soon as you walked outside with your wife, going to have labor or going to have a baby because she's in labor, all of a sudden you see the lightning again, you hear the wind again, you see the rain again, and you hear the thunder again, and you go, nope, never mind, going back inside, not doing this. We're not going to the hospital, baby. Sorry, it's too scary. Too many things happened, but you knew they were going to happen. See, you didn't have a problem going into the storm when your faith was in Jesus. You didn't have a problem when your ultimate goal was to draw nearer to God. You didn't have a problem knowing what was going to happen. But then you stepped out. And then you started to let the things that you see and heard and smelled and felt bother you. And you got it to make you have doubt in God. So somewhere along the lines, Peter had doubt about himself, maybe even about Jesus, maybe about God. But he wanted God. He wanted it. So here's the funny thing about this story. Jesus didn't make Peter get out of that boat, but he did make them all get into the boat. What do you mean by that, Jeremy? He commanded them to get into the boat. Right here, verse 22. Jesus immediately made the disciples get into the boat. So he made them get in the boat. He did command them to get into the boat, but he did not command them to get out of the boat. He simply gave them the opportunity to, and when they asked for it, he said, come to me, meet me where I am. Do you ever wonder why Peter was the only one to step out of the boat? Why didn't any of the other 11 disciples step out? Why was it only Peter? Well, the answer to that question relies on the fact that Peter is the rock. Peter's the rock. Eli, are you having issues with audio? I saw somebody say they're having audio issues. Peter might have anger issues. Peter might cut people's ears off. Peter might deny Christ. Peter might lose his sight on Jesus, but Peter had the faith. He had the faith. Even though he had doubts, he had the faith. Out of all of them, he's the one that said, I want more God. I want to be drawn more near to God. Good, Eli? Okay. How many of you have as much faith as Peter, but when you step out of your boat, the devil starts attacking you and you back off? You back off because it gets too hard. You back off because somebody's being hurt by it. You back off because you lost your job. You back off because people are making fun of you. You back off because people don't look at you the same way anymore. But either way, you back off. Why? If you're going to make the choice to step out of that boat in faith, in order to draw nearer to God. And he's promising you that if you do this, you'll be safe and I'll meet you where I am. Just come. Then you got to know that the devil is going to send massive amounts of demonic armies to thwart your path. That's the whole thing. Jesus commanded them to get into the boat so that they could experience this, because they still weren't sold on the fact that he just fed 5,000 people with a little bit of food. They still weren't convinced. They still didn't see who he really was. So he said, get in the boat. You're going to see. And Peter was the one that responded. Amazing. Amazing. Step out of your boat, folks. Step out of your boat. But make sure you're ready to step out of that boat. Make sure that you understand. Jeremy said that if I step out of this boat today, if I go, you know what? I am done with the old me. I'm stepping out of this boat today. Better know that it's going to get worse before it gets better here on earth. Not here in spirit, though. Here in spirit, you are free. Let whatever happens to your bodies happen. These are just meat puppet flesh, you know, non-infinite beings anyways. Finite flesh. Who cares? Run to him. Focus, stay on him. Let the wind come. Let the rains come. Trust me, folks, the wind and the rains are coming in my life right now, and I almost sank. Matter of fact, I did sink a couple times, and Jesus picked me right back up, put me back in the boat, and I got out of the boat again. I'm stubborn like that. But I'm stubborn for God. I'm stubborn for salvation. I'm stubborn for saving. I'm stubborn for my Savior. CQ says, I wish it was that easy. That's the catch 22, right? That's the catch 22. So let's continue to read what I wrote. Stepping out of the boat is the most satisfying yet scary thing that you can do. The simple fact that you stepped out of the boat means you are trying to draw nearer to God. The Father promises us that if we make step towards him, he will make steps towards us and meet us where he is. If you are drawing toward him, then he is no further from you than your own heart. It's the longest, but yet shortest journey to make. You see, it's a short journey to him. It's a long journey with him. Taking the step out of the boat is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Many hardships will come to not only you, but also your loved ones around you. The Christian life is one of sacrifice. However, that sacrifice is really giving up nothing other than that of which is not eternal, is not from God, and hence is worthless. I will gladly give up satanic, Luciferian, worthless things for godly, everlasting joy with my Creator. God didn't make Peter or you get out of that boat. He may have put you in the boat on that scary sea during that major storm, but you ultimately decide whether or not you want to get out of the boat. If you do, he will meet you in the midst of the storm and embrace you until that storm is over. To suffer here on earth, to sacrifice here on earth for God, for the Word, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for the Trinity. It's nothing better than that. And I'll gladly sacrifice it all. See ya. I'm good. I don't need this. I have a great Ray Comfort video to show you this morning. After all, it is Comfort Monday, right? Comfort Monday and Comfort Friday. We start the week off and end the week with a little bit of comfort in our lives. So this Ray Comfort video that I'm about to show you is very special. You want to know why? And by the way, folks, please do a round of sharing for God today. We're always trying to make 1,800 live Rise Up viewers. Once we consistently stay there, we'll push for more people to come to the Word of God. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen videos from Ray Comfort where people come back or he finds them again and there's an update with their walk with Jesus? Well, today you're going to find, or you're going to see this, this one of the latest videos from Ray Comfort. And in this video, a man whom Ray Comfort had crossed paths with 10 years ago, a decade ago, reunites with Ray. Where do you think he is? You think he's further in his walk with Jesus? You think he's fallen further away? Do you think he's the same? Let's see what this seed that Ray Comfort planted a decade ago. Let's see if it's been watered or not. Ray Comfort.
We have met before.
When?
10 plus years ago. I was walking down the pier with one of my friends, and you came up to us, and I wasn't a believer at the time. That's kind of the only understanding that I had, is God is love and means I could do whatever I want. I just say God is love and I'm good to go. And then you came and confronted me. You walked me through the law, and it really hit me. Actually, I was really upset. I didn't stay for the whole interview, in fact.
You walked off?
I walked off. I got so upset. I remember feeling like, I was like, I want to just grab this man's camera and throw it in the
look at the hat he's wearing now.
You had asked me about lying, and I said, yeah, you call him a liar. So what are you, a liar? And I remember being upset, and I was like, I'm going to say something to this guy. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to do something. He asked if I was a thief, and I was like, nope, never stolen anything. You had asked if I had ever pirated music before. And I was like, oh, I have. So, and you said, what does that make? And I said, a pirate. and you asked if...
Taking God's name in vain.
You did, yeah.
Looked with lust.
Uh-huh. That's about the point I left. I couldn't take the heat. We didn't even get to the gospel. I just didn't want anything to do with it. I felt so convicted, so upset. And I was like, who is this man that pointing sin out to me? You can't do that. You can't judge. My friend's a pastor. He would tell me, you're not allowed to judge me. And actually, for years, that sat with me. I started going to my friend's church, and I remember just reading my Bible fervently so that one day I would see you again and say, I'll show you. You know, you can't tell me about this stuff. I actually met my wife at that time, and it's funny. She lived in Pennsylvania. There she is. She was in school at the time, and she said, Chad, I saw this really cool video. They're showing me at my college, at my university. It's this guy on the pier. He talks to people about Jesus on the pier. I was like, did he have an accent? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, does he have a mustache? And she was like, yeah. And she's like, you know who it is? I was like, don't ever watch this man's videos ever again. I legitimately got mad at her as my girlfriend at the time. I legitimately got mad. And then she showed me the video that she was talking about. And it was the one with the neo-Nazi guy with the...
180.
White people are up here, and then there's... Jews. So the white man is the best man.
What's the purpose of man's existence?
To get drunk and have a blue mohawk. What was Jesus Christ?
Savior.
No, he was a Jew. And what did Jews do? They lie.
I commit adultery about every 2 minutes, maybe.
I mean, I watched it through to the end. I was like, is that what this man would have talked to me about? Like, I wish I had stayed till the end. And that, like, once that happened, it changed me. All of a sudden, I realized, like, the things I was told, the things that I believed, it sounds all nice, but it takes you nowhere. That's, you know, and now here, I come out here. Well, I would be out here every Tuesday or Friday with our church doing evangelism, giving out these guys, are you a good person, tract. But, yeah, we kind of exclusively use Living Water stuff now.
So encouraging. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and, you know, I always wanted to appall. I always thought after, you know, truly being born again. I would come back and see you one day and give you a hug and say thank you for what you've done for my life. But
let's have a hug.
Try not to cry. So.
Yeah. Oh, great to meet you, man.
We've been to the bookstore a couple times. We listen to the podcast now, too. And it's been, I've seen my husband grow so much in the faith and his love for other people and wanting to share the gospel with them. It's just been so night and day. So thank you to Ray and for your ministry.
And enjoy the podcast.
Yes, very much.
I'm the only sane one amongst the four.
100%. I'm just kidding.
That's funny. Yes, we do.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, guys. This lady's aunt was trying to distract her through the whole interview. You wait till you hear what she said about me at the end.
Could you say that again? What did she say?
She said, you're...
You think there's life after death?
I do. I don't know if I would necessarily say that it's life, but I do think that we have experience after death. I think we have a consciousness.
What is it if it's not life?
That I can't answer, but I think we're just kind of consciousness in our human bodies, and then when we die, we shed the body and we transfer into the great consciousness.
How frightening. Sort of float around as a spook for eternity?
A little bit. Yeah.
Are you afraid of death?
I'm going to say no now, but when I'm close to it, I'm sure I'll be afraid.
Well, that's honest of you.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Are you an educated person? Are you well-read?
I would say I'm well-read, yes.
What's the world's biggest selling book of all time?
I don't know that.
It's the Bible.
Oh, the Bible is the
biggest selling book of all time.
That's worrisome.
Are you familiar with that famous story where the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What do you think you have to do to get everlasting life?"
I don't think you have to do anything besides just exist and do your best. I think even the evil people get everlasting life. I think hell is only on earth.
Marissa, the Bible says after you die, you got to stand before God. Are you a good person?
Yeah. Yes.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Ooh, too many to count.
You ever stolen something?
Yes.
So you're a lying thief?
Yes.
You still think you're a good person?
I do.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Absolutely.
You love your mum?
I love my mom.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No, I would never use my mom's name in vain.
Yeah. Because you respect her.
Yeah, she's the number one.
But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word.
I don't know if I necessarily... That's not my God.
Yeah, I know. That's normal.
Right.
The first Ten Commandments says, don't have your own God. Don't make up a false God. And we tend to do that, a God we feel comfortable with. Yeah. One to go, and I appreciate your honesty, Marissa.
Yeah, of course.
Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked with lust?
Absolutely.
So here's a summation of your court case. On Judgment Day, you've told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart.
Yep.
Here's another question for you. Have you ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
No.
It's very famous.
I'm sure I've heard it one of these days. My aunt over there, she was my confirmation lady.
So are you Roman Catholic?
I was Catholic.
Okay.
So I'm not anymore.
Let me go back to that question.
Okay.
Yeah, the wages of sin is death. It's saying God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal who thinks lightly of murder, just laughs it off. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned.
That's not my God.
And Marissa, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row, and your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin.
Hmm.
Now, if you're guilty on Judgment Day, will you go to heaven or hell?
I don't think either exist.
Well, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire.
Who said the Bible knows everything?
Let me just finish, because it's so important.
Okay.
I know you think this is a big joke, but Marissa...
I do not think that this is a big joke.
Well, I'm deadly serious. I really care about you and where you spend eternity.
Oh, you care about me?
Yeah, I certainly do.
Thank you.
I wouldn't talk to you like this if I didn't.
Right.
So, what did God do for guilty sinners like you and I so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
This interview is taking a turn.
He's a gospel preacher. I looked him up on YouTube.
Okay, yes. I am, I don't think we worship the same God.
You've heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
Yes.
Almost everybody has.
Yes.
But they haven't heard this. And Marissa, if you can just stay with me for 30 seconds. Don't anything distract you.
I can do 30 more seconds. That's probably
could you please about it. Okay, please, please do that. And don't be distracted.
Okay.
The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's why he said it is finished. When he was on the cross, he was paying the fine for the law we'd broken. Concentrate. If you're in court and someone pays your fine, a judge will let you go.
Uh-huh.
You say you're out of here, even though you're guilty. Someone paid your fine, and it's legal for him to let you go. Well, God can legally take the death sentence off you because of what Jesus did on the cross. He can legally let you live forever because Jesus suffered and died, rose again on the third day, and if you'll simply repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, God promises he'll give you everlasting life as a free gift.
Right.
Please think about what we talked about. Will you do that?
I'll think about it.
You will?
Yeah.
That so encourages me. Could you say that again? What did she say?
She said, you're a Catholic and a Jehovah's Witness and a lunatic. So.
Real quick, here are three things to help you grow in your faith. The Living Waters Podcast, the Evidence Study Bible.
And make sure you guys check out that Living Waters Podcast. A lot of you have the Evidence Study Bible. Now, I want to stop right here. A lot of us would get angry with this woman's joking and a little upset and annoyed with this woman's body language. But you have to understand something. Most people that you come in contact with every day are like that woman. Not a terrible person, would probably help you if you asked her, but so lost on why she thinks she's a good person. What is her moral standard? So lost and so just not caring. She does not care. But the great thing about what Ray does is Ray doesn't rebuke her. Ray doesn't argue with her. Ray doesn't even give her her attempts to try to change the subject and talk about other things. He doesn't even give them any credence at all. He gives them no legitimacy. He just keeps speaking the gospel. And he keeps saying, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Listen to me. Don't look over there. That's what God's trying. Folks, that is what God tries to do with you. So we can't be all high and mighty when it comes to this woman just won't listen. She just won't listen to God. She just won't understand the gospel. Every day, God feels that about you. Eli, there's a link in there. Every day, God feels that about you and me and everyone in this chat. Because see, he holds standards very high, especially to his children. Our standards are so high, we at least know those standards. She doesn't even know the standards, and we still fall short. So we can't be too quick to judge. We cannot be too quick to judge. Because when we start judging what other people are doing and going through and who they are and this, that, and the other, ladies and gentlemen, we start getting a false sense of like we're better than them almost, right? Make mistakes. I want to show you two videos I saved here and archived for you about, well, one of them about making mistakes and about screwing up and about not doing something correctly. I want you to watch this video. Check this out. It's not really a faith video, but it's still good. Check it out.
Good one. I wrote the last equation wrong on purpose because I want you to learn something important. Now, you all witnessed I wrote the correct equation 9 times, but nobody congratulated me on that, did you? But as soon as I made a mistake, you laughed and criticized me. Why do you think that is?
Maybe it's because you're supposed to be smarter than us.
Yeah, and it's funny.
I may be in a position of authority. It doesn't make me perfect or smarter than you. I'm a teacher, but I'm also a human being who makes mistakes. The point of this exercise today is to teach a very important lesson. You will soon discover the world is quick to criticize and find fault, and much slower to praise and find the positive. You'll all experience criticism many times in your life. Those who are lucky enough to succeed or become quote unquote successful likely experience more criticism than the rest, because you'll find the one thing people love more than pointing out another's mistakes is when they can do it to someone who's achieved more than them. However, the person who criticizes others is only revealing the lack within themselves.
That was pretty powerful, right? I thought that was a very powerful video. I hope you did too. However, there's an even more powerful video that I'm about to show you right now that might give you a little glimpse of the way God works for you. And me. Roll this one.
People went through school and university together and developed a close friendship. Life went on and they went their separate ways and lost contact. One went on to become a judge, while the other's life spiraled downwards and he ended up as a criminal. One day, the criminal appeared before the judge. He'd committed a crime to which he pleaded guilty. The judge recognized his old friend and faced the dilemma, which, in effect, God faces. He was a judge, so he had to be just. He couldn't simply let the man off. On the other hand, he wanted to be merciful because he loved his friends. So he fined him the correct penalty for the offense. That was justice. Then he came down from his position as judge and wrote a check for the amount of the fine. He gave it to his friend, saying that he would pay the penalty for him. That was an act of mercy, love, and sacrifice.
The illustration's not an exact one. Our plight is worse. The penalty we face is death. The relationship is closer. Your Father in heaven loves you more than any earthly parent loves their child. And the cost is greater. It costs God far more than money. He came himself in the person of Jesus and paid the penalty of sin. Through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, God is both just and merciful.
Powerful, right? He had to administer the justice on somebody he loved. If you guys are experiencing freezing and you're watching on the app, you need to update your apps. If you have Android or Apple, you need to update your apps. That will be fixed. He had to administer the proper fine. He had to administer justice. The wages of sin is death. But then he came off the bench, didn't he? And he paid the fine for the one he loved. Imagine that friend not having any money to pay the fine, but then rejecting the help. That's what we do every day. That is what we do every day. Malachi 4:6, developing a father heart. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. God can only turn hearts that are malleable. He can do little with hard hearts. Let's allow God to mold our hearts, turning them to our children and watching as he turns their hearts to us. And as we get ready to end here, I want to play some music on the way out if we can. There we go. Lord, it seems fathering doesn't come naturally to a lot of dads. At least not the entirety of fathers, fathering kids the right way. We want to do right, but sometimes we miss the mark. But you can give us a father heart. You can turn our hearts fully to our children and theirs to us. You can bond us with our children so well, the bond can be broken only at the grave. I need a father heart. God, I need you to reinforce the bond I have with my kids. Bring us closer. Help us love more effectively. Help us love like you love. Help us love like you love. You see, a lot of us have been abused or set aside by our loved ones and our parents and all that. But I got to tell you this. And I saw this on a video last week and it just rang true. Be a person of your word. Be a person of integrity with godly morals. And as much as this hurts me to say about my father, I'm a man of my word today because my father was not. I'm a man of my word today because my mother was not. And as much as I love them and will always take care of them, I'm what I am today because of my Father in heaven, not because of my parents here on earth. And I pray that that rings true with all of you as well. I love you. God bless you. Mike Crispy comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. God bless you guys. I love you.
Present your bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. It's our reasonable service. It's the least we can do. Give our hearts to you. It's the least we can do. Give our lives to you. One more time. Whoa.